Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 75 of the podcast to be named later. I'm Chris Willis, and I'm again joined tonight by my good friend Stephen Talbert. Stephen, we're opening day. We were supposed to be recapping opening day, and obviously the weather didn't cooperate with us. But so we're going to preview opening day as the Braves get set to open in Philadelphia on Friday. You know, I'm excited. I'm glad the regular season's here. Hope you're doing well. I'm sure you're excited just as much as I am.
Yeah, we had this thing all, you know, we had it all planned out where Scott and Brad were going to preview the series and the season, and then you and I were going to be able to break down game one, and Sean was going to be able to recap or preview the weekend. But you know, weather happens, and the best laid plans of mice and men, as they say. So we adapt, and you and I are going to do a little bit of preview of our own and get ready for this regular season of baseball. I don't know about you, but the spring kind of flew by for me. I it's one of the fastest spring trainings I can remember. A lot of times it drags on, but it didn't feel that way to me this time. And I'm kind of stunned that regular season baseball is already here, but I'm excited obviously for tomorrow and to get this thing underway.
I mean, it's kind of weird when you look at it. You know, we're gonna have baseball now all the way to October, hopefully well into October if it goes well. It's really, the marathon's getting ready to start. You know, this was one of those weird times too, where, you know, you've got that off day scheduled on Friday, and it actually worked out with them having to reschedule opening day. But anyway, we've got some roster news to get to. The Braves finalized their opening day roster today, selected the contract Jesse Chavez, adding him to the 40-man roster. That's kind of what we were expecting, not initially, but over the last week after Jackson Stevens was outrighted, you know, it looked like it was you know, things were set up for Chavez to be added to the roster. And I mean, it's a great story for Jesse. I mean, I'm happy for him to be back. I wasn't expecting this to happen necessarily after he ended up signing in with the White Sox on a minor league deal. But, you know, Chavez has been really, really good for the Braves over parts of the last three seasons. So, you know, I know they're happy to have him back in the clubhouse, and you know, feel bad, a little bit bad for Jackson Stevens. He was outrighted and elected free agency. As of this recording, I don't think he's signed anywhere. I think there's still a chance that he might come back on a minor league deal, but obviously he's probably looking to see if he can land a major league opportunity somewhere. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. But you know, were you surprised when you saw that Jesse Chavez was back?
I mean, I was, just because, like, if there was interest between Jesse Chavez and the Braves, like, that seems like something that would have gotten done in the offseason, just with, like, a minor. I mean, Chavez signed a minor league deal with the White Sox. So, you know, if the Braves had interest in bringing him back, I don't know why they wouldn't at least just offer him a minor league deal at some point in the winter. And if Jesse was okay taking a minor league deal, why he wouldn't have just accepted it from the Braves? So it is a weird situation to me. I just assumed all winter that they wanted somebody with a little more upside in that last spot. And I think Jackson Stevens probably has more upside. I don't think anybody would argue that Jesse Chavez is an upside play. It's more of a comfort play, right? It's just somebody they know. You know, I thought Stevens had a pretty good spring. I think he had like a spring training. I looked this up a couple of days ago. I think he had like a 3.5 ERA for the spring, 3.5 FIP. Like, he was striking out guys. You know, he looked pretty good. And I was fully expecting him to be the guy. You know, they had done Jackson Stevens for a couple innings, and that's something that you and I talked about, you know, the Braves kind of do need that role of somebody that can do multiple innings, you know, even if it's just a cover blowout inning, so your high leverage guys don't. And obviously that's the idea here with Jesse, is that, you know, he's not going to be throwing any really important innings. He's just going to be saving unimportant innings so that the high leverage guys can just stick to high leverage. So, I mean, it's the last spot in the bullpen. Nobody should be too upset about it, but it was surprising to me. I just, if there was interest on both sides, I don't know why this just wasn't done like in you know, February, like all the other minor league deals, but it is what it is. He's back and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, without a doubt. They put Angel Perdomo on the 15-day injured list today. That's not surprising. I know we had some questions why he didn't just go automatically on the 60, because he's going to miss the whole season. And I'm pretty sure you have to have a full 40-man roster to put a guy on a 60-day. So, you know, it's probably coming at some point this season. The 40-man roster right now is at 37. I've seen some people that are, you know, that bothers them a little bit, you know, or they don't understand why that's at that point. But it's kind of the situation where you don't put somebody on the 40-man until you just have to, you know, the way that does. Because if it's a young player, you start his service time clock. And if it's a, you know, and then, I mean, you can call up a Luke Williams or a David Fletcher, or you know, any of those type of guys, you can do that anytime. You can do that when you need them, and you know, there's no point of putting them on there now just to fill out a 40-man roster. You know, with the 37 on there, they've got some flexibility. They can keep an eye on the waiver wire, and you know, I mean, I think it's just a you know, it goes back to that roster cleaning they did at the start of the off season, and that's one reason, you know, this number still as low as it is.
Yeah, it's always easier to put a guy on the 40 than to take a guy off the 40, right? Like you have to put him through waivers and all that stuff just to get him off. So if you don't have to put him on, teams typically wait just until they need it. A good example is like the Braves only have two catchers on the 40 man right now. Obviously, the first time Travis d'Arnaud or Sean Murphy gets any sort of, you know, little injury or something, you know, 15-day, 10-day IL, whatever, you know, Chadwick Trump is going to be put right back on the 40 immediately. So, like, that's probably a spot, even though technically Chadwick Trump isn't occupying a 40-man spot. He is, for all intents and purposes, occupying one, because they know that they're probably going to need a third catcher at some point during the year. So, you know, there's examples like that where the actual number that of guys that's on the 40 versus the guys who are, you know, probably earmarked a spot, you know, is a little different. So, yeah, it's not a big deal. And then the Braves also, they outrighted Penn Murphy, I think. Isn't that right? They released Penn Murphy off the 40?
Yeah, they put him on waivers. He was claimed off waivers by Houston. It was a little confusing because the Braves announced they had released him. I think what had actually happened was he was designated for assignment or maybe put on release waivers. And then he would have been released had he cleared, but he didn't actually clear. Houston claimed him. But I don't really know exactly why they would have parted ways with Penn Murphy at this point, except that he was, you know, he did have a non-guaranteed deal. If he wasn't in the plans, then, you know, obviously they can get by without paying him. You know, he was recovering from Tommy John surgery, wasn't going to be ready probably until the second half. I know an intriguing guy that had some success in Seattle. So, you know, that raised some eyebrows with everybody, but, you know, I just think it really had to do with that non-guaranteed contract.
Yeah. And obviously this time of year, you're always, you know, everybody's kind of got their eyes and ears peaked up just in case there's a late addition of some sort to the 40 men. There's a lot of roster movement, you know, the last couple of days of spring training and even the first couple of days of the regular season. So, you know, who knows with Alex, anything could be up, you know, that he might have one or two spots on that 40 man saved for somebody he thinks he might be able to get. Who knows? And sometimes it's just good to have open spots. There's a lot more flexibility. Like I said, it's always easier to put a guy on than to take a guy off. So it's not a bad thing. And the fact that the Braves still have so much depth throughout their system, throughout their rotation in AAA, you know, they have a lot of depth and they have open 40-man spots. So it's a pretty enviable spot to be in.
Yeah, without a doubt. The roster moves today did actually set their opening day roster. You know, you and I have throughout the offseason, we've kind of talked about the position battles and stuff. So I thought we would, you know, look at the final product and kind of see where things ended up. You know, the rotation, I think we were pretty much decided that we thought Reynaldo Lopez was going to get that fifth spot at least to start the season. So I don't think there's really any surprises there. One thing in the bullpen I did want to mention, now with Chavez as the eighth guy, Dylan Lee, I believe, is the only guy with a minor league options. So I do wonder just how tight Jesse Chavez's grip on that last bullpen spot is. If you know, if they need a fresh arm or whatever, you know, we talked a bunch about the need for having guys that had some flexibility down there to be able to, you know, so you could send guys up and down. And it almost looks like they've backed themselves right back in with to a situation where they don't have a ton of flexibility there. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, I think the bullpen's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think Chavez's hold on that last spot is tenuous at best. I think he's convenient at the moment. He's familiar, but let's be honest. I mean, there's a world where Jesse Chavez just, you know, stinks. Like, he's not very good. He's, you know, I mean, he's only ever really been good with the Braves, at least the last few years. So if that magic dries up, then I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, I think a guy like, you know, Oscar Ynoa down in AAA, who's got major league experience, he's got options, he can pitch out of the bullpen, who can be a multi-inning guy for you. The Braves got a few of those down there, actually. But they have so many starters down in Gwinnett that they could do that with a couple guys. So, yeah, this is definitely an opening day roster. I'm not even sure this is like the opening week roster. So, you know, we'll see how it goes with Jesse. And again, it's going to be low leverage stuff for Jesse, but that role does have some importance, like we've talked about before. So if he's not good at it, I could definitely see them moving on.
Yeah, and I mean, Chavez has been in this position before. It's not like, you know, this is a new thing for his career. And, you know, if he goes in there and he pitches well enough that, you know, they feel like they can't cut him, you know, he's going to have that opportunity for sure. So we'll just have to see how it, you know, how it plays out with that. But that's something to keep an eye on. Dylan Lee also, you know, again, he played a huge part in the bullpen last year, you know, before the shoulder injury. But now also you've got AJ Minter, you've got Tyler Matzek, you've got Aaron Bummer. There's a lot of lefties down in that bullpen. So, you know, he'd be a candidate, I think, to go down if you absolutely needed an extra starter or another fresh arm for something. On the position player side, the catchers are pretty much set. The infielders, Luis Guillorme ended up as winning that backup infield job. I'm not terribly surprised. I think they're satisfied that he can play shortstop for a day or two if they need him to. But were you surprised that he got the edge over David Fletcher?
Yeah, I was a little surprised just because Fletcher does have more shortstop experience. But listen, when you're already on the 40-man and you have a major league contract and the guy you're competing with is not on the 40-man and he has a minor league contract, then you have the edge up. I mean, you just do. It's just it's contract stuff at that point. So, and they were using Guillorme quite a bit at shortstop in spring training, obviously. So they kind of tipped their hand as to what they were going to do. So, yeah, I mean, and again, for the Braves, these spots don't matter a ton. These are basically just, you know, we have an injury, we got to get through the next five innings and then make a move. You know, that's kind of, other than Duvall, that's kind of what all these players on the bench are. So it's not a huge deal either way, but, you know, they tipped their hand in spring training. They had him at shortstop. He was on a major league contract. Fletcher was on a minor or not on a minor league deal. He was brought over to trade, but he was not on the 40-man. So, yeah, it wasn't that surprising.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that was a good point you made about Chadwick Trump because, you know, those guys are just, a phone call away. If you need them, if you need Trump, you need David Fletcher. You've got open 40-man spots. You know, you can bring those guys up if Orlando Arcia was to go down with an injury or, you know, anybody on the infield was to go down with an injury, then you can always bring that extra infielder up, whether it's Fletcher or Luke Williams or somebody else. So, obviously, the biggest I think the biggest addition to this bench obviously was Adam Duvall. I think you and I talked about it the last time, but it changed the whole complexion of the bench for me. I know a lot of people wanted to read into it, into that acquisition, that, you know, it was because Jerry Kelenic had struggled, and when in actuality, I believe that it was because at the beginning of spring, I don't think the Braves had any thought that they could get Adam Duvall for $3 million. And once his price dropped to that point, it was a no-brainer to go out and get him. And you compare him with Kelenic, but Duvall's, you know, he can play all three outfield spots. He's a right-handed power bat that you can bring off the bench. I mean, just made the ball club better. So, to me, he kind of changes the whole dynamic of that bench when you add him to the mix.
Yeah. Oh, it's not just, you know, everybody tied his name to left field, but it's not just left field either. I mean, he's depth everywhere, right? Like, you know, if something happens to Michael in center, then Kelenic can play center and Duvall can play left. You know, if something happens to Ronnie in the knee, then Duvall can play right. if Marcell Ozuna just gets off to a dreadful start or just has a bad year altogether, then Duvall can DH. Like, it's depth everywhere. And you know, the part of it that surprised me, and you and I talked offline or on Slack or whatever, but you know, they were so vocal about Kelnick being an everyday guy, and I really bought into it. I believe them, because teams don't typically just make stuff up about like a guy's role. Like, they'll make stuff up about, you know, players that are interested in free agency or trades or stuff like that, but they don't typically just make stuff up about the role a guy is going to have on a team. So I do think they, when they traded for him, they do genuinely want him to be an everyday guy, but the bench was so bad. Like, you needed some depth. Like, you know, Ronnie had the knee scare. Ozuna is still far from a sure thing. You know, I mean, you needed more depth. You needed some injury insurance, and Duvall was a no-brainer at that price. And, you know, Kelnick's still the strong side of the platoon. He's still going to get 400 or 500 plate appearances. I tell you what, the moment they signed him, like, his bat came alive in spring training. I don't know the correlation, but the moment they signed Duvall, Kelnick started roping line drives everywhere. You know, it's probably a correlation doesn't equal causation type thing, but still, it's funny to think about. But yeah, it was just a depth piece, and it's a strong depth piece. And like you said, at that price, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I mean, you're not going to bring an Adam Duvall if he's going to drop his price tag to $3 million. You know, he's still probably looking for a role. So, you know, if you get that opportunity to add a guy like that, it's a no-brainer, because you know, you and I talked about this bench, what we had before. No offense to Jordan Luplow or Eli White or anybody else, but that bench was bad. You know, beyond Travis Darno or whichever catcher wasn't playing. I mean, that was not a great bench. And, you know, getting Adam Duvall, I just think it increases, I mean, it just makes you that much better. One thing it also did, I think it opened the door for Forrest Wall to make the opening day roster. I think you're a whole lot more comfortable adding Wall, who's a left-handed bat, when you have Duvall that can pair in left field. You know, I'm not sure what Forrest Wall's role is going to be. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get. He's a great story, a guy that stuck it out for a long period of time in the minor leagues, and now he's on the opening day roster. He's worked really hard. He's made adjustments. He had a good spring. And, you know, the speed is game-changing. And, you know, you've seen teams carry that speed guy in the postseason. So I think this is a little bit of a new look, and maybe it's got something to do with the universal DH. But the Braves are going to have that speed guy now. So, you know, if it's a tie ball game and Travis Darno gets a double or something, and you've got Sean Murphy on the bench, you're not going to be afraid to pinch run Forrest Wall in a tight game like this. And at the same time, he can play all three outfield spots. So it just adds, you know, more depth with that. But, you and I really fixated on that, into the need for a right-handed outfield bat. And Duvall more than satisfied that need, and I think it just opened the door for Forrest Wall.
Yeah, Forrest Wall always made more sense as the fifth outfielder versus the fourth outfielder, because, you know, we talked about it all winter, but with two left-handers in the starting lineup in Harris and Kelnick, you needed a right-handed, you know, handicap for the fourth spot. Like, that was, you know, it was going to be Jordan Luplow or it was going to be Adam Duvall, and if they didn't sign Duvall, it was going to be Luplow. It was always going to, the fourth outfielder was always going to be right-handed. I had some people tell me, like, right, left doesn't matter, stuff like that, but it does. It does matter. You know, in terms of scenarios where you're going to use the guy, the platoon advantage does matter. So the fourth guy was always going to be right-handed. And once you have that, the fifth guy can be kind of whatever. You know, you can just, whatever's available, what's best available. You know, the Braves picked Wall in large part, like you said, because of the speed, I'm guessing. That guy is not going to play a lot no matter what, unless there's an injury. And even if there's an injury, Duvall is going to be the first name off the bench. So, you know, Forrest Wall is not going to play a bunch. And that's something they had to weigh versus playing every day in AAA versus sitting on the bench most of the time in Atlanta. I'm sure that was a debate, but they chose, you know, they thought it was better to have him up, and that makes the big league team better. Like you said, it's another weapon off the bench if you need a run late. And yeah, so good for him. Like you said, it's a great story. You know, he's been a minor leaguer for a while, and he's really talented. So it's cool for him. I know he's not going to play a bunch, but, you know, even sitting on a bench, it's better than riding a AAA bus all year. So I'm sure he'll take it.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I can't remember. It was close to the beginning of spring, and I can't remember if it was Alex or Snit that, you know, kind of talked about what their lineup said, that they really wasn't worried too much about the right left thing, but on the bench. But I never did really buy that too much, because I was like you. I just felt like you with Harris and Kelenic both being left-handed bats, I thought there was a pretty big need for a right-handed hitting outfielder on that. And you know, if Wall sits for a while, you know, we kind of saw this last year at one point where, you know, he got sent to Gwinnett and they called up Luke Williams just so Wall could go down and get some at bats and play, you know, a little bit. So, you know, and he's got options, so, you know, that could still happen at some point down the road. But, you know, good for him. Glad he made the opening day roster. He had a heck of a spring, and you know, really kind of looking forward to how they use him, because he can be a weapon in late innings as a pinch runner, which is not something we've always seen teams be able to carry, you know, simply as a guy that's just basically a designated runner like that. So, but yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with the opening day roster. I feel a whole lot better about the bench now than I did probably 3 or 4 weeks ago when you and I were first talked about it. I think, you know, they were able to get through the spring without any injuries, which is a minor miracle. You know, we've seen over the last few years, the starting rotation has kind of been playing catch up at the start of the season. But all these guys, Chris Sale, Charlie Morton, everybody got through the spring in one piece. And, you know, I think that's exciting when you get ready to start a season.
Yeah, I never talked about it really on the, you know, on the pod. I really never tweeted about it, just because I guess, you know, stupid superstition, whatever. But it's actually kind of a miracle and kind of amazing how healthy the Braves, especially the pitching staff, got through spring training. Like, I mean, Oscar Noah had a little thing that set him back for a couple weeks. But other than that, like, they made it through with everybody healthy. And that is not the case a lot of the time. And it's not the case for a bunch of teams around the league. And, you know, again, I never said anything, because the moment you say it is when somebody pops an elbow or something. But it's actually pretty incredible how healthy the Braves got, you know, to the regular season. Now, obviously, they have to get through the regular season. That's a whole nother thing. But, you know, spring training could be a lot worse in terms of, you know, your pitching health. And the Braves got through it about as well as you could have possibly hoped.
Yeah, and I mean, they were so healthy that they had to send guys like Alan Winans, Darius Vines, Ken Giles, who I thought would look pretty impressive, you know, in his first couple of appearances, down to minor league camp so they could get innings, because they had so many major league guys that needed to get the work in. So I feel pretty good about it. I feel good about the opening day roster. I feel pretty good about the depth at Gwinnett. You know, and now it's just about getting out there and letting it rip, you know, once opening day gets here on Friday. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about that matchup against the Phillies.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Obviously, the Braves were supposed to open up the season on Thursday, but got pushed back due to the weather. The weather looks good in Philly for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the first three games of this series. Obviously, a division series rematch for the Braves and the Phillies. I think it probably carries a little bit of pressure for the Braves, obviously, at the way the last two seasons have ended. I expect that Philly crowd to be nuts, you know, on thing. But I think it's important to remember that it doesn't really matter what happens in this first series. I know the takes are going to be hot, you know, if they go out there, but you know, you can only go back and look at 2019. The Braves won 97 games and got absolutely destroyed in those first three games in Philadelphia. So no matter what happens this weekend, you do not want to get too high, too low, you know, after this, because there's still going to be 159 games left to go in the season. But with that said, the Braves have really talked up this World Series or bust mentality. And I suspect that, and it begins with their opening day starter, but I suspect there's going to be a little bit more of an edge to this team when they take the field in Philadelphia on Friday.
Well, and you brought up 2019. You know, like you said, the Braves, they went into Philly the first three games of the year, got swept, and then won 97 games. But also in 2021, they went into Philadelphia in the first three games and got swept and then won the World Series. So, like you said, like the first series is always, you know, everybody has takes. It, you know, everybody thinks the thing that happens in the series is the thing that's going to happen for 6 months. It never happens that way, of course. But yeah, it's the Phillies. Like, it's the Braves' number one rival. All due respect to the Mets. Well, actually, I don't really care if the Mets feel respected or not. But it, the number one rival in the division right now for the Braves is the Phillies. It's not even close. So, you know, and, you know, the Phillies, at least in the postseason, do have this kind of mental edge over the Braves right now. Until the Braves conquer those demons, then, you know, the Phillies are going to feel like they have the one up, even though the Braves have won the division, you know, 6 years in a row, and the Phillies really haven't all been all that close in competing for it. You know, when you knock the team out 2 years in a row in the first round, then the mental edge is definitely going to go towards the Phillies, and obviously it's going to be in their place. It's going to be great pitching matchups. I mean, just tremendous. I was looking at it today. I think the best two pitching matchups in all of baseball for every series are number one, Strider versus Wheeler, and then number two in all of baseball is Max Fried versus Aaron Nola. Like, that's how good these pitching matchups are. So it's going to be super fun, obviously, just to have baseball back. The Braves could get swept and still accomplish everything they want to accomplish. The Phillies could get swept and still accomplish everything they want to accomplish. So, yeah, the takes will be flying. You know, I care just, you know, more about the process stuff, get everybody healthy. How does Spencer look? How does the bullpen look? You know, stuff like that. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a really fun series. The Phillies are probably the third best team in the National League. The Braves are probably the best team in the National League. So it's always going to be fun when these teams match up.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned the Mets, and I mean, it's a good point. You know, the Phillies are, in my mind, the Phillies are the Braves' rival. You know, the Braves have owned this division for six straight seasons. And the only team that's been able to knock them off the mark has been the Phillies. Obviously, that's come in the postseason, not so much in the regular season. But, you know, I think the Phillies have kind of a little bit of a mental edge. I think Spencer Strider and company have tried to, you know, take that back. And, you know, there's this idea out there online that the Phillies own Spencer Strider. But if you look at the regular season numbers, Spencer Strider has been lights out against the Phillies. You know, in nine starts, I think he's 8-0, which I don't wins, losses, whatever. But Spencer Strider has good numbers across the board against the Phillies in the regular season. Zach Wheeler, never an easy out, obviously. Aaron Nola was a little bit of a down year last year. I would not be surprised to see him pitch really well this year as well. The one I'm really excited to see, though, is going to be Sunday and getting Chris Sale out there, you know, who, again, is going to bring a little bit more of an edge to this Braves roster. This is a guy that's, you know, out there. He's healthy. He wants to prove to everybody he's healthy, and he wants to prove that he's still – got stuff left in the tank. And him being left-handed against this Phillies lineup, I think is big. When you look across the diamond, you see Kyle Schwarber, you see Bryce Harper, you know, so potential playoff preview again, you know, if these two teams meet in the postseason. But you know, what are you looking for from Sale on Sunday?
Yeah, I want to see where the stuff's at. You know, we've been fooled before with spring training velocities and stuff, and then getting to the regular season and it not being that. So first and foremost, I just want to see where the stuff's at. You know, where's the fastball? What's the slider spinning at? You know, getting all the StatCast data that you get when you actually get to regular season baseball is going to be interesting. We'll obviously look at all that when it happens. But yeah, just how he looks overall. I don't really care about the results. Just how does he look? How do the hitters react? You know, Sale versus Harper is obviously always going to be fun. The Braves have not really had a Harper answer in the postseason. You know, Max Fried is obviously left-handed as well, but Max has been hurt the last couple of postseasons. Hasn't really been Max Fried. So, you know, Sale versus Harper is going to be fascinating. Sale versus Schwarber. You know, the Phillies had a pretty quiet offseason, if we're being honest, at least for the Philly standards. And, you know, I thought they would do a little bit more to address their lineup. You know, their lineup's getting older. Schwarber's not any younger. You know, Castellanos is not any younger. Real Muto is not any younger. Even Trey Turner and Harper even is kind of getting up there. So it makes you feel old to say it, because we all remember when he was 16 years old on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But even Harper's not really getting any younger. So, you know, it was a quiet off season for them. I'm curious to see how they look and obviously how the Braves look, you know, just to see everybody out playing in a regular season game, to see how everybody looks. It's going to be fun either way though.
Yeah. And I mean, too, and we touched on the bullpen earlier, you know, a number of lefties down there. That's something, you know, they didn't really have last year. It was pretty much AJ Minter and that was about it. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this matchup plays out. I did see it was interesting that they're going to they're not going to have the off date now, but Reynaldo Lopez will make his start against his old club in Chicago. Charlie Morton's going to start the opener Monday, and then it'll be Lopez and then Strider again. So, one full time, through the rotation on this road trip, to begin the season. There'll be an off day Thursday and then the home opener next Friday. And I'm planning on being there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Anything else you want to hit before we get out of here?
No, I will say this. We were very close. It's not going to happen because of the way the White Sox set up the rotation, but we were very close to having like a Reynaldo Lopez, Mike Soroka, face off with old teams. But the White Sox ended up putting Soroka, I think they ended up putting him like two in their rotation, that number two. So he's going to miss the Braves series, but that was very close to happening. And that would have been, well, I don't know if it would have been fun. It certainly would have been interesting to watch both guys face their old teams, but yeah, just excited, just really excited. The fact that we're going to get Major League Baseball tomorrow for the Braves, you know, we're going to get to see Acuna. We're going to get to see Strider. We're going to get to see Olsen. We haven't watched these guys play real baseball in, I don't know, what's it been, 5 months, something like that. And the winter always drags on so long, even though it's not a terribly long off season. Baseball's winter, just because there's so little action for most of it, it just drags on. So finally getting to get these guys back to regular season baseball. You know, they haven't played well in Philly to start the season the last few times. So I'm curious to see if they come out with a little more fire. Like you said, Strider has dominated the Phillies in the regular season. He had one bad start in the postseason, which is what everybody remembers, but he typically does pretty well against these guys. So yeah, really fun first game. Wheeler is obviously always tough, but you know, we'll be here to cover it all the way through.
No doubt. And with that, we're going to check out of here. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast network, check out the site, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.